of that. And so certainly hope as spring goes, we'll see more of that. But this morning we have quite a number of our people that are not here today. They're vacation. I guess it's spring break, as they call it. And so several have gone off different places, and so we miss those who are not among us this morning. But this morning we have some more that are among us that have been among us visiting, and they have decided that they would like to make this their home. Bob and Phyllis Broadus, that have been visiting with us for a while, off and on for several months, have decided they like Market Street and they want to be here. And we're thankful. We like them, and so we're glad they like us. And so we're glad to have them among us. They mentioned, talked to the elders this morning. And then Albert and Brenda Haraway, of course, they visited with us for quite a while too. And I think they like us, you know, they like some of us anyway. And anyway, they've decided to make this their home, and so we are so glad that they have. And I hope that maybe you're visiting this morning, and you're looking for a place to call home yourself. And you might decide you want to make Market Street your home because we like you. You're here, you're among us, and we like you, and we'd like for you to stay with us as these other families that have just recently joined us have decided to do. And so as we work together for the cause of Christ, the kingdom of the Lord in this place, may he continue to grant unto us blessings and add to our fold others that want to do the same as we are striving to do here. If you have your Bible, so I'd like for you to take them and turn to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Many years ago now, 1977, there was a Broadway play that was shown on Broadway. The play was about a little orphan girl. She was a little redheaded girl, had rather cute. She was about 11 years old. She was an orphan, and she was adopted by the richest man in the nation. And the popularity of this play really was probably based on the song of the play. And the song was, "Tomorrow, tomorrow, I'll love you tomorrow. That's just a day away." You know, when I think about that song and the Annie and the what is really depicting there of this orphan girl who has no parents and she's living in this orphanage and she sings this song and really all she's got to hope for is tomorrow. That's all she's got. She has nothing that really she can hold to. There's no home. There's no family. There's no relationship. There's not a really some future that she has. But she has tomorrow. You know, we may think about that. We think, well, there's somebody who's looking to the future. Well, what a great idea of looking beyond today and looking to that which is before us. And there is the fact that we need to do that. But I will suggest to you that really, I believe tomorrow may be one of the most dangerous words we have. It may be one of the most dangerous words we have. And the reason why is because of how we use tomorrow. He was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one would be better than he tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up the letters he would write tomorrow. It was too bad he really was too busy to see Bill, but he had promised to do it tomorrow. The greatest workers this man would have been tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is, he died, faded from view, and all that was left when living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. You know, when I think about that, I'm here in Acts chapter 24. And I'm impressed because here we have a text of a man, and his name is Felix. He is here, and he's wanting to hear about the things of God. And Paul is here, and he's being brought before him, and finally he comes, and Drusilla and his wife, and they say, "I want to hear about this faith." Of course, you remember Felix is a really in an adulterous relationship. He's married. A man who is a woman who's already been married to another man. She's married for about 3 or 4 years, and he took her away from her husband and married her, took her to be his wife. And so they're living in this relationship, and as this man and his wife, Drusilla, who come before Paul, and he begins to talk to them about Jesus. If you're with me there in verse 22, let's begin our reading right there. It says, and when Felix had heard the things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them. And when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or to come unto him. And after certain days, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered and said, go thy way for this time, for when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. When I have a convenient season, I'll call. Go away for now, but tomorrow. Here is Felix. He hears Paul speaking of righteousness, temperance, which is self-control, which obviously from the lifestyle that Felix had, we show he does not have much restraint of self-control because he couldn't contain himself. He took another man's wife to be his own so he could have her. He lacks self-control. Righteousness, as Paul talks about righteousness and serving God and being right with God, you know that his hearing these words has to affect him. Am I a righteous man? Am I doing what God would have me to do? Am I being the kind of person God wants me to be? As he talks to him about righteousness and temperance. And then he doesn't stop with that. But then he says and speaks to him about judgment to come. Now here's Felix. Here's a man who is in, oftentimes, he finds himself being the judge. He is the person who is always making judgments of matters over people. And he is the judge. Now here Paul is saying, you know, there's going to be a judgment to come. One day you are going to stand and you are going to be judged about righteousness and temperance. What is the judgment going to be for you? Well, as he is teaching him and he is instructing him about these things, the text says, did you notice in verse 25? That he trembled. He trembled. I can understand the response. I can understand why he felt this way. I can understand why he would say, I need to do something. But he says, tomorrow. Not now, tomorrow. Why is it that you think he put off till tomorrow? You know, there could be lots of reasons, and I mean, as I began to contemplate this, and I was thinking and studying about this, I began to think about why is it that people may say tomorrow? Maybe they think today is a bad day. Maybe they think, you know, maybe there's a lot of things going on, and today is the day we have, but understand, there are lots of things that are going on today. I've got my plans for what I've got going on this afternoon. I've got things I'm going to do tonight, and you know, really right now would be a very difficult and maybe a very tough time to be able to take time to do what God wants me to do. And maybe that was Felix. Maybe he was sitting there thinking, with everything I've got going on right now, doing what God wants me to do really is. But if that's what I think about serving God, do I really believe God? Do I really trust in God? And then why is it that you think he trembled? Why is it that you sit there and think he would tremble? Well, because he knows he stands in a condition that is not prepared to meet God. We need to never say tomorrow when God says today. We put things off tomorrow. Then God says, don't do it today. There may be things about life. There may be things about life that we might do well if we had stopped for just a moment and contemplate what it is we're fixing to get into. I think that they're very serious decisions. I think about marriage. I think about that kind of relationship and what that involves and how big a decision that is. I think it's good to stop and think about it. Don't make a rash decision, or job changes and the different things of that nature, and lots of decisions that we make. There may be some time that we need to stop and say, let's contemplate. But not this, when he is reasoned with righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Why did he say, not now? Not now. Well, the fact of the matter is tomorrow never came for Felix. Never came. Then I think about another incident in the Bible that talks about the same thing. I'm turning to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And this is the story of the rich fool. You remember the rich fool of Luke chapter 12. We begin reading in verse 13. And really this hinges on the fact when the one comes to Jesus and says, you know, divide that my brother, command my brother that he will, or speak to my brother that he will divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus says, you know, who made me a judge or divider over you? Understand, your life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that you possess. That's not what your life is all about. And then he told this parable in verse 16. He says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. He had been blessed by God. The ground that he had brought forth plentifully. And I can't help but just think about how that is, that here's a man who has been blessed in so many ways. His ground is bringing forth plentifully. And not only so much, but how he began to think about what he was going to do. As he said, what am I going to do? I have no room. My barns are full. I have nowhere to put all the crop that I've been blessed with. And he began to think about tomorrow. He began to think about tomorrow. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits, my goods. And what will I say? I'll say to my soul, verse 19, thou hast much good laid up for many tomorrows. Take thine ease. Tomorrow. He paid no attention to the futility of tomorrow. The fact of the matter is we don't know what is tomorrow. As a matter of fact, if you'll take your Bibles and turn over with me to the book of James, James chapter 4 talks about tomorrow. And this is what James says. In James chapter 4, look with me, beginning in verse 13. He says, go now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you're rejoicing, your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Here it is, the rich fool. He's got all this, but he's thinking about tomorrow. What should he be thinking about? What can I do today? You know to do good, then do it. Felix, you know to do good, do it. Why do you say, when I have a convenient season, I will call? Or when I'm going to lay up for myself ease for years? But not today. How many times have we become negligent in our calls in serving the Lord? Not taking the opportunities that are before us. Neglecting to do today what we can because we think we've got tomorrow. Tomorrow. We put much undue emphasis on what we're going to do tomorrow. And we don't know what tomorrow is going to be. The rich man's problem was not his wealth. It was his priorities. Oftentimes people say, you know, people misquote this. They'll say money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. The problem with this rich man wasn't that he was rich. The rich fool's problem was not that. The problem was is he did not have the right priorities. He didn't see what he could do today. Today. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What are we laying up for these treasures in heaven? We need to be laying them up today. Today. Or what about those people that are pictured in the judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels are sitting with him, and he's upon the throne of his glory, and he's got the nations all before him, and he's separating them, one on the left hand and the other on the right. Those on his left hand, he says to them, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered and you gave me no meat. I was a thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was sick and in prison and you came not unto me. And what did they say? When did we see you? Do you think they may have been thinking too in their life? Well, I'd take care of these people if there was a tomorrow. I would do this tomorrow. The things we leave undone to do tomorrow that never are done. I say that tomorrow may be the most dangerous word that we have. And so we need to think about our tomorrow. Not Felix's tomorrow, not the rich fool's tomorrow, but what about our tomorrow? Our thought is that we just have an indefinite tomorrows. Alexander the Great conquered the world by the time he was 30 years old. He was asked about how in the world could you at such a young age conquer the world? And he said, I never delayed. I never stopped. I never waited. I didn't say, well, I'll do that tomorrow. He did what he could today. There are times for discernment. And we needed to take time to think, to study, to pray. But we need to think about tomorrow and not about how much we're going to do with our time tomorrow. How many people are there who are living their lives with their children? And they'll say, when I get some more time, I'll take time with my kids. I'll spend time with my kids when I just get over this hurdle at work. When I just can get these bills taken care of. When I can just get this done or get that done, then I'll take time. Tomorrow. You remember the old song? The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue in the man on the moon. The story of the song is so sad. Here's a little boy who wants his daddy. He wants his daddy to give him some time. And what is the point the dad said? The dad has always said, not today, tomorrow. Oh, we'll take care of that later. And as the song goes and progresses, finally the father gets his time when it gets tomorrow. He calls his son. He says, son, hey, I'd really like to spend some time with you. He says, Dad, I'd really love to do that. But you know, the job's a hassle. The kids are all in school. I just don't have time. The song goes on and says, the father thought as he was telling the story of the song, he says, as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, my boy had grown up just like me. What? We're going to do it tomorrow. We're going to do it tomorrow. Tomorrow, what are we going to do tomorrow? Well, I want to tell you the problem with thinking about tomorrow and always making tomorrow being the main thing. Tomorrow is what we're going to do. And that is, there are things that need to be accomplished today. There are things that, yes, need to be accomplished. And if we put ourselves into a position of putting off, putting off, putting off, and say, well, I'm going to do that tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, what are we going to do with that task or that work or whatever it is? We're going to say, well, I'll do that tomorrow. You see, that's the way we live. That's the way we are. That's tomorrow's job. And you know what? If it's something that doesn't matter, if it's something that does not matter, then that's fine. If you never do it, it doesn't matter. But as with the rich fool, as with Felix, it mattered. This was about serving God. It's about making God the top priority of your life. The lesson of the Felix and the rich fool says, don't put off to tomorrow what should be done today. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 says, boast not about tomorrow, for you don't know what tomorrow shall bring. We don't need to be putting off tomorrow that which we should be doing today. How often do we find ourselves thinking, I'll do that tomorrow? Tomorrow. What are you going to do tomorrow? I've got my plans tomorrow. I don't know if I'll get anything done or not tomorrow that I plan to do tomorrow. But you know what? If I don't get that done tomorrow, it won't really matter. But I want to tell you, there are some things that have to be put into tomorrow. And that is, tomorrow when I wake, and it's today, I'm going to serve God today. And that means that's what I've got to do today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul said, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Are you serving God today? Are you one of His? Are you giving Him your life? And I hope you are. I hope that's every day. I hope every day that you wake up. Every day you wake up to a dawn of a new day. And as the sun rises, it's a new day. The day has just started, and here you are for a new day. What are you going to do with today? Don't push to tomorrow what you need to do today. Maybe that you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ. Maybe you've put that off. Maybe that's one of those things you said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that tomorrow. Matter of fact, I had a man tell me that one time. He told me, I'm going to do that tomorrow. About 2 weeks later, I was preaching his funeral. Don't let that happen. If you need to respond to the Lord this morning, won't you come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, Son of God, to be buried with Him in baptism, to rise up as a child of God, serving God today. We can assist you. Let us know how we can. While we stand and sing, won't you come?